Hello, OT friends, and welcome to the Uncommon OT series. I'm Patricia Motis, and I'm your host, a Filipina-American, native New Yorker, current California transplant, bulldog mama, and an uncommon occupational therapist myself for the past 22 years. On this podcast, you'll hear me proudly feature the unique careers of occupational therapy practitioners working in non-traditional and role-emerging practice areas, settings where OT is uncommon. I invite you to receive a dose of OT inspiration, to learn, to think outside of the box, and to be energized and motivated to follow in these unconventional paths. Happy listening. Before we begin this episode, I want to highlight and extend a special thanks to our sponsors, TrueLearn and PicMonic. PicMonic is an excellent learning resource and study aid for occupational therapy and occupational therapy assistant students, whether you're studying for your classes or getting ready for the NBCOT exam. PicMonic is the only visual mnemonic learning tool that has been research proven to increase retention and help students ace their exams through the use of audiovisual learning and intelligence-based repetition algorithms to help with long-term retention while studying. How I wish I had a learning tool like this back when I was in OT school. Try it for yourself and sign up today using the link in the show notes or code TRANSITIONSOT to score a discount of 20% off your PicMonic membership. Happy studying.
Welcome back, OT friends. Today, I'm super excited to introduce you to our guest of honor, Dr. Hiral Khatri. She is a highly respected and accomplished occupational therapist with over 13 years of experience in the field. She is known for her integrity, her innovative approach to therapy, and her unwavering commitment to supporting and advocating for her patients. Throughout her career, Dr. Khatri has consistently demonstrated her dedication to improving the lives of individuals of all ages. She is highly skilled in developing customized treatment plans that are tailored to the unique needs and goals of her patients, and is always seeking out new and innovative methods to enhance their progress. One of Dr. Khatri's greatest achievements is the founding of OT Park, a pediatric occupational therapy practice that provides vital services to children in need. In addition to her clinical work, she is also deeply committed to advancing the field of occupational therapy through education and advocacy. She currently serves as a lecturer at San Jose State University, where she teaches pediatric occupational therapy and is also the Region 3 director for the Occupational Therapy Association of California, OTAC. She is also an AOTPAC, the American Occupational Therapy Political Action Committee ambassador, and holds the position of membership chair for the Association for Asian Pacific Islanders in Occupational Therapy. She is also a respected mentor in the Coalition of Occupational Therapy Advocates for Diversity, COTAD. Dr. Khatri's contributions to the healthcare industry have been recognized with numerous awards and accolades. She has been named one of the top 100 visionaries in the field and most recently received an Entrepreneur of the Year award from OTAC, the OT Association of California. So without further ado, to tell us more about her various OT roles and leadership, I present to you Dr. Hiral Khatri. Welcome, Dr. Khatri.
Hi, Patricia. You can call me Hiral.
Hi, Hiral. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being here and joining us. You know, I'm a big fan of yours and all of the work that you do for our profession. So thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for inviting me as a guest on this amazing podcast that I'm a big fan of. Thank you.
Well, I'm super thrilled. We're going to get into the nitty gritty of your work. You've done a lot. You have a lot of roles, and you and I talked a little bit about how we would sort of organize your experiences, right? And we agreed that your leadership roles are something that we kind of want to focus on in this episode. So I want to start off by saying that, but before we get into all of those various roles, I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about some of your favorite occupations, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for giving a wonderful bio introduction about myself. To add one to that list, that I recently also received an award by University of St. Augustine, that is Force for Good Award. And I was so much honored to receive that, that recognition from the university from where I have done my OTD. And other than that, oh my God, you have covered everything about myself. But yes, to answer your question, my favorite occupations are two. I love reading fiction mainly. I'm not a biography person. I love fiction. And recent one is Colleen Hoover, everyone's favorite. And other favorite occupation is traveling. I have traveled around like 29 countries so far. So I'm excited. Yeah. I love
it. And yeah. Now I'm finding that everyone's traveling again. So yes, I'm looking to also make some plans. You and I have that in common. But thank you for sharing some of that and congratulations on your latest award. I remember, and I'm sorry we missed that in the beginning for the bio, because that's huge. I remember you mentioning that that was the reason why you were not at the AOTA conference this year.
Yes, I missed it this year, but they both were at the same time. So,
well, it was a very important reason to miss it. So again, congratulations on that accomplishment. And it just, again, speaks so much to your leadership abilities and what you've been able to accomplish. So I want to get into that a little bit. And, you know, I guess maybe let's start with having you talk to us about what motivated you to contribute to the podcast.
Of course, the niche of this podcast that you have created and the brand that it's Uncommon OT series. So that was the main thing. And I have been hearing your podcast since now a long time. So all the speakers and everything. So and this is a really good platform to share our voice, our thoughts among those like-minded OTs and those who are looking forward to get inspired and get learn something from each other. So that is what inspired me basically to do this podcast with you. Yes, of course.
Well, thank you so much for being here. This is probably a really good time for us to start talking about some of your roles, right? And you take it away. You start wherever you want, because I know, you know, you have a lot of various uncommon roles. So you start wherever you'd like.
Even I'm confused from where to start.
Well, maybe we can start with some of your leadership roles.
Yes. Okay. So my leadership all the way started from my bachelor school, where I was a student leader. Fast forward, I got a treasurer in my state association over there. Super fast forward to 2014 here at OTEC. I was volunteer because just like how I said, I met amazing mentors and my networking and they gave me a tremendous opportunities and they trusted my skills. So through that, I started my volunteering and my leadership journey through Occupational Therapy Association of California. But let's go fast forward and recently, like currently, what I'm doing is I'm Region 3 Director for Occupational Therapy Association of California. So Region 3 covers from San Jose, San Francisco, all these areas. And I'm the director for that and one of the board of directors for the OTEC. Other than that, I'm also a chair at membership committee for AAPIOT, that is for Asian American and Pacific Islanders Occupational Therapist Association. And then I'm a Region 5 Ambassador for California for AOTPAC, that is American Occupational Therapy Political Actions Committee. So we fight for our rights and raise funds so that we can go and get our bills passed in the everywhere politically. So I work with that as well as a leadership. Other than that, I'm volunteering in various committees at OTEC and AOTA, but these are my chief, like if I'm having a role, then these three are mainly very much main roles. Yeah.
Okay. And just to, you know, remind our listeners that these are just three of her extra other roles on top of your other role.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Which we will get to in a minute.
Yes.
But wait, let's take a step back. So thanks for telling us what, you know, some of your, the Region 5 being an ambassador, you raise funds, you know, that way those funds can be used for what purpose?
So basically, Political Actions Committee, PAC, that is called as PAC, and that is for, so we all are like work together to get some funds and get donations from the AOTA members, so that it goes to the like political, goes to our political what do you call it, like bills, and these funds can be helpful for fighting at the Senate or in the House so that we can support our lobbyists and they can present our voice to the governing party or whoever is there, so they can pass in majority and then we can pass those different bills. That we are hearing this from AOTA that we didn't related something, telehealth got covered now, and all those things can be done through a lot of, and that needs funds. So as a political elections committee, we organize different events or we set up our booths at different OT events, and only AOTA members can fund and donate to that, so that we work around that area so that our we get those funds to fight for rights, you know, basically. Or OT rights.
Yes, got it. Okay, thank you for clarifying that, and also, you know, giving us those examples.
That's important. Yeah,
because we know that there are people out there lobbying for us, but then where are the funds coming from? You're the person who are raising these funds, right? So, I guess on that note, is it challenging? How can you give us a glimpse at that? And
sure. So usually, yes, it is hard because you won't just donate if you are not seeing any results. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and that is why we have this whole committee, the whole PAC, like Political Actions Committee. So every region, every state has its ambassadors, and then region directors. There are five regions. So Region 5 includes like California, Nevada, Hawaii, Oregon, all those states, and every state has their own ambassadors. And so raising funds are, so then we have to during those events or during AOTA conferences, when we have booth or some other states conferences, when we have our booth, we have to present that what bills OT lobbyists were able to pass, and how federal legislation works, how we promote our voice in front of federal legislators, and how they protect our occupational therapies and our rights, and how to advocate. So all these things needs, of course,
funding.
And so, but at the same time, every year we are raising, so we set a goal and then we meet those goals pretty much every year because of the hard work everywhere happening. We organize cooking nights and like paint nights or get together, etc. So our OT community is really generous. Those who really respect and value of advocacy, they donate really well and they support basically. So it's a a big thank you to them. And as ambassadors, also, we also donate every year. So that is also, and it is used for our own community. It's always good to give back. So if you cannot spend your volunteering time for the for your profession because of that, who you are today, at least you can donate a little amount. So those who are working for that, they can get that, you know, support, and they can fight with better, you know, strength. So
got it. All right. So that's your role as an ambassador at Region 5. What about the Asian American Pacific Islander founder role? Can you speak to that a little bit? And your what are some of your responsibilities there?
So I'm chairing membership committee. It was founded years ago. I don't remember the exact year. By Shana and Shep. But then we redesigned everything recently. So our strategic committee and executive committee basically is now, you will see new faces and everything. So I'm basically chairing membership committee as a membership chair. I have to increase membership, get more members, support members, help them if they have any questions regarding the association, how we work, and be a link between members and the association body. So that is a huge responsibility, because anything happens, members will reach out to me first because they have my name, because they send their registration forms to me. They send and then I'm a link between, I send them, direct them towards the right, if they have any questions regarding any country liaison. So I send them towards, if they have from Vietnam, from Philippines, from China, so from India. So I guide them accordingly, if that is the question for any like president, vice president, or, you know, so I guide them accordingly. So that's, that's a responsibility, kind of volunteering, time consuming, but it's good to have. So
yes. Well, I'm a member, and I filled out my form, and I know that there's a couple of important events coming up. There's an open house. So I remember a couple of years ago seeing the website and being applying for membership, and there wasn't really a whole lot going on. So it excites me so much to see everything being revamped and action being taken, right? And, you know, a community, I'm seeing a community getting built around, you know, your idea and your leadership. So thank you for that. I'm definitely benefiting from that as well.
Thank you for members. And they put a lot of trust on our slow process while we were working around it. It was a long discussion time and everything to put everything, every pieces together and doing it. But our like president, he's doing Dr. Puck Patton. He's doing really amazing with that. And plus all the leaders are doing so good. Dr. Arabit, like Shep, Shana, then Drashti, Dr. Karen Park, vice president, everyone is doing so good, and they are working really hard to keep this association going and support our community. So we need that direct support and mentorship, basically, that because when we all are immigrants, basically, you know, so when they need a specific help, and usually it happens that if I'm South Asian, I would go to a South Asian first to ask a specific question. So having this kind of association specifically for Asian Americans, we can provide that mentorship and ask them. Provide them simple, you know, answers and everything that, okay, how to do, who to meet in every state, throughout the United States. So,
we're able to share information with each other, learn from each other, right? And all of those individuals you mentioned, I hope and pray they will come on the podcast, because I've got my eyes on them.
Yes, we do that.
They're doing some uncommon things too that I think,
Yes.
is really important to highlight. So stay tuned. Hopefully they'll respond. So thank you for telling us about that role. Last role, Region 3 Director.
It's amazing. So as a California, I have been OTEC's leader since very long now. I started with my volunteering and now I'm at Region 3 director position. This is my second term. So as a Region 3 director, I am representative of the areas that I mentioned from San Francisco to San Jose to Monterey. So all these Region 3, I'm representative from them. So my job is to connect the members in my area, do some meet and greet events, organize some short topic forums. So I have to find some web seminar like presenters or those who are unique in specific niche in the Region 3 area or outside of Region 3, so they can present and provide them CEUs to the members. Other than that, helping student SOTA groups, the student groups in every university. We are representing our region, so doing something help being helpful to their event. So they sometimes call me as a guest speaker or to their events or just a guest, and so I have to be present as a leader so that they get motivated. Students needs to get motivated if a real leader goes there, in those events, because when they plan something, it's big for them and it's really, and they plan amazing events, those groups. So like recently we had pain night and a yoga event, etc. So I do that. Along with that, I'm so as a Region 3 director, we represent our region, so we have to be at OTEC annual conferences and spring semesters. We have to attend board of directors meetings so that we can make some decisions or some motions, etc. So to keep the association go move forward and everything like that. So all those decisions. So we have to attend monthly meetings and take leadership trainings. A lot of things. OTEC does a lot of things, and they also teach leaders how to be leaders really well. So it's very well set structure. So it's so much fun to be a leader at OTEC, and everyone is so passionate about OT. Everyone is so passionate about being a leader at OTEC. So they all teach each other really well. And current president, Bryant Edwards, he's fabulous. And also previous, like past presidents, Dr. Heather Kitching, whom I adore a lot. She also came to visit OT Park. Dr. Like Bryant Edwards, President Edwards, he came to do the ribbon cutting at OT Park. So happy. And Dr. like Vice President Gigi Smith, she's also with me in San Jose State. She's also chair, she's also vice president at OTEC. So she also came, and she's a fabulous leader as well. So everyone, OTEC has a different culture of, and it's like a, like it's like I feel like so much alive when I'm with that leadership cohort. So it's and learn a lot from them all the time.
Well, I can tell just from the energy and your voice,
Yes.
how much this group excites you and just kind of, stimulates that part of your OT, your OT self, right? I really appreciate all of the time, and the efforts and just the advocacy that you're putting or you're giving back to the profession, right? It's a lot of work that you're doing, and yeah, just
And
want to
time,
say thank you for
yeah.
that.
You're welcome. Yes, and plus, this is not just helping me my as a like leader or just helping me to give back to my profession, but it is also helping me to be a great entrepreneur, because those challenges that we see as associations, as leaders, I see that on a smaller or larger scale at my business as well. So those decision-making skills and those quick meetings and those things have like changed me and made me better entrepreneur in my business. So even though I don't get, no leader gets paid for their time and anything, not even flight tickets or anything. So if people think that way, it's not like, we just love leadership so much. That's why we are doing it. So, but you learn a lot and it's just passion, you know, it's a passion project. Yeah.
Oh, well, we're all fortunate that you're there because you're representing us super well. And maybe that's a good, you know, a good segue to OT Park, because I see that as another one of your leadership ventures. And as you just described, a lot of the things that you're learning in all of these different roles, you're applying in that role, right? Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us a little bit about OT Park and that venture?
Sure. OT Park is my baby, my dream, something that I always wanted to do. I started OT Park as a subscription box business that was completely non-traditional because I got furloughed from my OT job during COVID, of course, and a lot of us have faced that phase during COVID. So, and then I decided that I don't want to go back to the job thing. So that I started my box because my daughter was small and I started to help other moms to do activities to keep their kids away from the screen time, etc. So, and OT skill box was loved so much because there were so many other subscription boxes, but they were not skilled because I added gross motor, fine motor, ADL, everything that what we do in that little box. So, and then slowly when COVID started to fade away, everyone started to get vaccinated. This was always a dream to open my own clinic one day. And so we were looking for places and then we started our brick and mortar OT Park, and I kept the same name because it's park where everyone gets happy. So that's why OT for OT, of course. That is how it started. But yes, to answer your question, OT Park is a pediatric facility here in Morgan Hill. And we treat kids from 1 year to 13 years. It's my, as I said, it's my dream. It's my baby. I have that freedom to do what I always have planned, to bring that, to not worry about any restrictions of what materials to order, what kind of sensory, what kind of courses to do, what kind of techniques to use, how to settle their treatment plans, etc. So that is pretty much making me really happy. And to run a business, that leadership skill, to run the whole process from scratch, like building it up every day, making decisions about specific issues, even though it is an electricity bill or it is a client related issue. So everything, every day, you need that little leadership skill. You need whatever we do every day as an OT, like our cognitive skills, our decision making skills, our planning skills, etc. So it's every day new, every day fun, every day challenging. But at the end, we can sleep better. That's what matters after all. Like, and then it gives you, of course, that is something from where I earn the most. So yes, and all, and that keeps me happy because I'm doing something on my own. And at the end of the day, I have the decision power that, okay, tomorrow what my schedule will be like. And I have all the, like, when I want to shut it off, when I want to go to some family situation, etc. So yeah, OT Park is my, everything.
Well, it sounds like a dream, right? And I want our listeners to, just to really tune in here, and it's highly possible, right? And it is. So what inspired you to get into all of these various leadership roles?
I think as we were discussing our bonus questions before this, the same, the creativity, just like how I said, OT is a very creative healthcare field. And that is the only thing that inspires me to be more and more creative, to do everything, and the core values of our occupational therapy to focus on meaningful occupations and promoting daily lifestyles and help, basically our helping nature, that inspires me every day. And at the same time, OT Park is something that brings me my achievements, my independence, my empowerment, my entrepreneurship, and of course monetary gains are also happening from there. My financial goals are achieved through that. At the same time, giving back, because whatever I am here because of being an OT, and that little thing that I need to give back to my profession inspires me to do my leadership work. So yeah, both goes together for me, one inspires the other. So yeah, pretty much, yeah. And just whenever I see children who needs help, and they need sensory processing skills, integration, and they're helping them and doing that something for them, for the community, for OT community, at the same time for the pediatric community in the, yeah, wherever we see, in the schools, in the area. So those things always inspire me whenever I look, because my dad was a doctor. He was an eye surgeon, and he always used to say that, so the helping nature is always there in my family. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I was like, okay. So that inspires me most of the time. So yeah.
Yes. Oh, well, I love that everything's coming together, right? Your leadership stuff, and, you know, particularly how that's complementing your entrepreneurial endeavor right now. I know you talked about this a little bit already in terms of the different roles, so your leadership roles and kind of how you got there, but can you describe to us a little bit more about your path? So here you were, an OT in India, and then you came to the United States. Can you fill in the blanks a little bit in terms of from there, how did you get to the leadership roles and then to today?
Sure. Yes, absolutely. So
I know, sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but I happen to know, or you mentioned to me, that you also had leadership roles in India.
Yes.
So this is not even the full list.
No, yeah, kind of. I mean, so I joined my bachelor's of OT school around 2006, 2007. So they have 4.5 years of bachelor's of occupational therapy course. So during those 4.5 years, I was a student leader all the time. So I was organizing, taking leadership in getting those national, like Indian national conferences in my city, then participating as a student and taking the whole student team to the other cities, because the conference structure is different there, where we have to represent our own college or university, and that needs a lot of leadership effort. And then after completing bachelor's, you can start working as an OT right away and also be a leader. So I became a treasurer in the State Association of Gujarat. And then I worked around 1 year or 3 years, like that, 1, 2, 3 years. I don't remember exactly now, because it just started somewhere between there and ended because of I got married and I had to move to United States. So in 2013, I moved here. So boom, I had a huge, everyone knew me there. I had a plan, everything. And then here, nobody knows me, zero. I'm I just moved, you know.
Yes.
So, and I had to move, otherwise what will my husband and I will do? So I moved, and then the first thing I did is, of course, I learned from my leadership skills that networking is very important, and my people and where can I find my people through conferences, because there is that is the only place where everyone comes. Every OT will come in an OT conference. So
yes.
My first OT conference was in Sacramento in 2014 by of OTEC, OT Association of California. I just went there and I just started to introduce myself to those who are taking some sessions or who are presenters. And also I met Dr. Heather Kitchen there, so who was president-elect of that time, and I introduced myself. She was smiling and she was like, oh, you are president in India, OT Association, we will definitely reach out to you if we need volunteering here. Then I also met Sabrina McCarley and she also said the same thing. They were so passionate. And after some time, I just got an email, and then I was a volunteer, student volunteer on the leadership booth. And that is how I filled that little gap. And now suddenly at least 5 or 6 people are knowing me from my name. They were emailing me, and then I started to expand my networking through my leadership, to reaching out people, through attending all the conferences, especially OTEC conferences, because EOTA were so expensive at that time for me, because I was my OTD here along with my work and other things. And also I started to work as a volunteer in the pediatric clinic, whose owner, Jennifer Davis, she was so amazing. She's a great mentor till date. She also, even though she has amazing clinics now in the Bay Area, she still mentors me, and she shares the strategies that how to, you know, run a business and what
yes.
kind of how to deal with specific, you know, issues you find in the business, etc. So she pretty much mentored me through my entrepreneurial journey, and others at OTEC, they mentored me through my leadership journey. So it just making your connections. I would say to my listeners of this podcast that networking is very important if you want to achieve your goals, because we are a very small community, OTs, and then we all are there to help each other. And other thing I know this is not the topic of our discussion today, but I would say do not monetize your mentorship if you are a mentor, because that just makes the person who is asking for help stop somewhere and lack that trust in you. If I would have been asked for money for their important timing of emailing my stupid questions or texting me back on Facebook about that, how to do this or that, I would be not here as an immigrant, as in South Asian, because mentorship should be pure and free. If you are a mentor, I would really suggest you just help. Otherwise, just don't help, but don't monetize that. So because mentorship cannot be, you know, because I have been hearing from my students and others, this is my time. I don't reply to answers and this is my price sheet, you know. So just a little, I know we are not discussing this, but I would not be here like this without that free mentorship. I mean,
I hear you.
Yes.
I also mentioned on your bio that you're also an active member of COTAD and, you know, mentorship, because I have some experience with that and that organization.
Yes.
And, you know, that was what really attracted me to kind of offering my services, because this was a service that was being offered to individuals who probably would normally not necessarily reach out for mentorship, right? For
yes.
a variety of reasons, financial, whatever, you know,
yes.
whatever reasons it might be.
And I was waiting for, sorry to cut you off, but I was waiting for this name, COTAD, because I have a huge, on my leadership career, there is a huge impact of Dr. Arale Anwarizadeh of
yes.
COTAD, who is the founder of that. She was the one who gave me a chance to be to work with her committee directly after looking at my powerful advocacy-based tweets about tech and its activities. And then we were discussing, she was like, you are an amazing leader. And then she was the one who trusted me so much and taught me through her actions the best leadership skills, mentorship skills, that is beyond words. So yeah, I was just waiting for Kotet to get mentioned here so that I can give that credit to Dr. Anwari Zadeh, because she is my favorite leader. Yes. And yeah, she trusted me. And basically when she left OTEC and went to AOTA and I took over the, I think, yes, communications, I became the communications chair. In the past that she was chair and she suggested my name as well, and then the elections happened, etc. But she has a huge impact on my leadership journey as well. Yeah.
You are not the first person to say that to me. I'm a giant fan of hers too. And I'm not surprised that you two know each other and that you have this connection, because I see similarities in both of you and the energy and the passion and how you speak about occupational therapy. And, you know, it's all heart. So I'm small world, right? Such a small world that we're in. And we need to go, we all need to kind of hang out and, you know, get some drinks or something one of these days. In California.
We need to.
So, yeah. All right. So next question. I know we talked a little bit about some advice, right, for some listeners. You highlighted mentorship as being key, networking, right, and how, you know, that has really led you to where you are today. I am so impressed, Hiral. I mean, you arrived in 2013. It's 2023.
So you can call it 2014.
It's 10 years though, what you've accomplished in 10 years' time. I have to give you so much kudos, and I'm just so proud. I mean, you talked about the challenges when you first moved to the country and really kind of, you know, almost being a culture shock, right? Like it's a totally different world. And then what you put into, you know, yourself and your professional self in 10 years and what you've accomplished. So, oh my gosh, that's why you're on the show. That's really why you're on the show, is because others really need to understand your nature, you know, what you're capable of and how they can perhaps follow in your footsteps and in your path, if they're interested in it, you know. So can you share with us just, you know, some recent challenges that you may have had, and maybe finish it off with some successes? I know you already talked about your amazing award, your well-deserved award. But yeah, any challenges and successes lately in any of your roles?
Yeah, let me think about it though. I have my strong support system, my husband, Munjal, who is just always a text away for me. So if I find any challenge and I discuss, and we both discuss together, and he's kind of my spine. So we figure out everything like highs and lows together. But as a person, I would say that in my entrepreneurial journey, the biggest challenge for me is every day, I would say, marketing. I mean, not for my patients, but when we organize some events, because now it's word of mouth, but when we organize events and specific things and those out of the box marketing thing, that is a big challenge. And dealing with sometimes hard clients is a huge challenge that to explain them what we do as an occupational therapist and how we can bring some independence in the lives of their children. But successes are also there along with that. If you are good to explain everything and just stay, show them your passion and your vision and stick to your research articles that our AJOT or, you know, our standard journal articles, if you follow those and you read those and you have those answers ready, I would say they can see the proofs and from the research, so they can definitely understand what you mean to say. And that is what I call success, because OT is a huge evidence-based practice, and sticking to that is very, very, very important. Other challenges as a leader to get more members. Not everyone believes in your in the OT associations. They feel like it's a waste of money to be a member, even though membership pricing and the conference pricing provide way better than what they get elsewhere, with prizes, with lesser hour of conference time. They don't believe in the value of associations and how much we do as leaders, how much time we spend for their rights and protections. And that is what something a big challenge, because they don't see the value. And even though we try, because it's association, of course we are lack of money and we don't have those fabulous marketing strategies without any plannings and all. It's just the trusting the process and valuing your professional association is very, very less, and that's a big challenge. However, organizing successful conferences despite all these challenges and attracting more members are even slow by slow, like little by little, is a success, but we still need to do a lot in that. And members, basically members, I mean non-members, needs to understand the value to become a member of even OTAC, state associations, or the American OT Association, AOTA, so that we become a strength and more like powerful, and we can show everywhere that okay, we are our unity basically, and we all trust each other. And as a professor, I don't want to talk about it. I have challenges. Students are always there. So yeah, grading and whatnot.
But the grading, right? Yeah, it's a lot of work done. To read.
Yeah, that's there. But yeah, but I would highly highlight that please be members, renew your memberships. It is only for your support or your future generations. I mean, OT future generation support. Trust us. Your money is not getting wasted. It's just getting used for the betterment of the profession. And be the member and renew and make others members as soon as possible. Like, just spread a word about it. It's needed. Yes. We need you. We need OTs to trust associations. So,
yes. Well, thanks for sharing some of that and for bringing some of those points to light, right? Because, you know, I've been a member of a variety of associations, not always so consistently. And I think just like a lot of OTs out there, it's often the cost, right? Because there's this national conference that's, you know, $500 plus airfare and hotel, you know, yearly. Yes. And then there's also the regional, you know, the regional conferences, which I'm, you know, learning more about here in California, as, you know, since I moved here. And there's a few different ones too, but those also require, you know, membership and again, funding to sort of attend, right? So I know that always becomes the challenge, but the points that you bring to light where, you know, who else is going to represent us but us, right?
Yes.
We have to be there.
Exactly. And another point is that a lot of OTs are turning away from the association and supporting your profession culture to organize and attend the seminars or little summits here and there. And they charge way more than you total up the list that you just mentioned.
Got it.
For example, like if you think that AOTA will cost you $500 for 3 days of attendance, then airfare, and for example, it will cost you around 1,000, to fly from here to East Coast, etc. $500 tickets, etc. Let's put 1,200 for how many days? 5 days. How many CEUs? More than your NBCOT needs in just one visit, okay?
Yes.
And if you go and at the same time, OTs are paying just 1 day seminar or summit or 2 day summit in the 1500 price or $2,000. I have proofs. Of course, we cannot name anything, and that is not a wrong practice. I don't say that because we all have to earn. But if we compare, the associations do provide those speakers and those topics. If you're interested in integration, if you're interested in entrepreneurship, if you're then you can do that, your niche-based seminars there also. So it is possible you are getting more value. They don't think that way. And of course, you can do both, but at the same time, look at the value as well. Apart from just that niche-based topic, you have a huge opportunity to network and learn from each other and give back to your profession. So that's my point, is that you are ready to pay more for just lesser amount of time and less at the your own association. And then when you have some issue going on that, hey, why OTs are not getting paid enough, why our this legislation is not getting passed, you don't go to fight with those who are organizing the summits or you are trusting your niche, but you go fight with AOTA or OTAC or other state associations. So when there is an issue, you remember associations, but you don't support them. You know what I mean? So it's better to at least give a little bit back. I'm not saying that, yes, it is expensive. It is definitely expensive. But try to balance it out and spread the word about it and, help more to your association.
Got it. And it can also be done through volunteership, like you mentioned, right? And
Yes.
also, if not the membership, a donation, right? Like a simple a donation directly to those
Exactly.
associations. So
Yeah, if not, just donate and as low as $50,
as what
$100.
you can, yeah.
Yeah, and every dollar counts. Every dollar
Yes.
counts. So, yeah.
Okay, well, hopefully our listeners are listening
Yes.
and will renew their membership or make a donation. I guess this is a good, it's a good segue to the next question about salary, right? And money matters. I know we're talking about a variety of roles, but is there anything you can share with us, money, salary, compensation-wise, about any of these roles that you've talked about?
In the sense of OT side of it, right? I mean, like,
Yes. Well, are you, so for example, the leadership roles that you have with the Political Action Committee, with OT, with OTAC, with COTAD, these are all purely volunteer
It is
positions.
volunteer,
Yes.
yes.
So
So
there's
OTAC do cover for one night of hotel stay. If you are going to the board meeting, board of directors meeting, and then the rest of the conference price is just regular membership price. But nothing is covered. Not even AOTA president gets anything, any reimbursement or anything. It's Pure volunteering. It's pure volunteering. So yeah, so that is what the compensation wise it works. Just appreciation that OTEC is doing. Of course, it's up to you as a leader that if you want to accept it or you want to like give it back again, that no, I don't want to use the funds from the association. And there are so many leaders who do that as well. So it's not like every time we are using the funds and all the things. So, but those things not everyone knows that, you know, we are truly passionate about. And I know many volunteers, leaders do that. And generous act from the association as well that they have created those rules. But other than that, nothing, no, zero. It's just you have to donate, not get paid, you know. It's just you are donating your time and whatever, how much amount you can. Of course, as a leader, you have to go to conferences. You have to, it's not mandatory, but it's good to be show your face for the OT community. They want to see you because you are hosting a position, so they want to see their leaders, you know. Just example, if AOTA president is not showing up at the conference, then you know, so they want to see. No, just like that. So they have to be there and they have to pay for the conference, they have to pay for their flights, everything. So yeah.
Okay. Again, thanks for bringing some of these to light. And for all of the work that you're doing and the time that you're devoting to all of this. How about OT Park? Can you share with us a little bit about, salaries and just whatever you feel comfortable with for some of our entrepreneur listeners?
Sure. So, OT Park is purely ca cash based. I don't accept insurances. So, that gives me a freedom to set my own client prices and set the pricing for the events and the timeline that I can set for my patients, sessions that I can do half an hour sessions or 45 minute sessions or some summer camps or for 3 hours or handwriting programs to run for 20, 25 weeks, 25 sessions, not weeks. So it just gives me freedom, all cash based. I am not good with insurance, being of course immigrant, and I have never grown up in the insurance system here, so I don't understand that. So I'm staying away from that. But I have heard, of course, bad stories about that as well from other entrepreneurs that if you I'm not doing it, then don't do it. So I'm just following that. As of now, there are other entrepreneurs too that they say that it's easy and you can just do it with insurance and all. So it's just kind of your own personal preference. And for me, it is no insurance as of now. Yeah, and my pricing are set according to the market, whatever is happening in around the area in the OT businesses. I have researched through asking them and also looking at their pricings. What are their insurance pricing? What are their not cash-based pricing? So I set my pricing accordingly. So yeah, that's pretty much about it. And it's just me right now at my OT park, and I'm looking for OT. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Oh, you're hiring. Great.
Yes, I
So,
am.
hopefully, someone who's listening will
Yes.
be a good
Yeah.
candidate for you.
Yes, email me.
Oh, wonderful. Are there any common myths or misconceptions about your role as a leader that you would like to demystify today?
Yeah, just the one myth that I've heard many times, or curious as a curious question actually, that how do we get the positions and we just get randomly selected, or you get paid for everything and they from the associations and you have amazing life like economically. So that's a myth.
I kind of thought that too. No, I didn't. But I
Yeah.
just had no idea. So it's
Yeah.
again, I'm just happy to know
It's
more
always
now.
elections. From, I mean, I don't know, many of the listeners are participating in the AOTA elections for the board of directors. Like they recently completed that for the president, vice president. Everything is election based. Mm-hmm. So if you are a member, you can definitely put your vote and don't forget to vote. It's just like your national voting. Just do vote. Your vote counts. And so if you vote for, read through their biography. If you don't know that leader, read through their biography, what work they have done. And these days it's easy to find out for a person from social media or anything.
Yes.
But if you're interested to vote, then go through their bio data. What are their vision or mission for their term? And then you vote for it. So that the same process happens at every association. It's all elected positions. Elections happen. The ballots are sent out to the members, and then the members elect them, and then mm-hmm. they get the position. It's not the random selection that, oh, hey, I'm interested in membership, give me membership position. No, nobody will give you. You have to get elected for that. About the funds we just discussed, even presidents are not getting paid. So mm-hmm. position. So yeah, not anybody, not any leader is getting paid. Yeah, compensation can be done through like a little one-time lunch or something if we have extra funds from that conference, you know. If okay. we have more people attending, then only. If we are going in loss, then we ourselves donate if we want to, or if we don't, yes. then it's just a loss. But yeah, leaders do a lot. I mean, economically, financially, and time-wise. Yeah, so it's not random. It's not the live life fullest, financial, nothing. It's just our passion, and we want to fight for you. It's not like that we are doing anything a favor or anything. It's just mm-hmm. it's crazy to fight, you know, to do
yeah. stuff
for the profession. So,
but I'm also thinking, just again, the environment, the energy, being in a room full of people who are like-minded, right? Mm-hmm. Who have the same passions, and even though you're not getting monetary compensation,
yes.
there is so much inspiration in that room. There's so much, you know, OT energy that's just beautiful, and collaboration and ideas yeah. and problem solving. So
absolutely. They know somebody, they know some other OT, and through after 10 years of your OT journey, you get to, you need somebody's help. I got so many connections of OT entrepreneurs through these leaders only, because they know other entrepreneurs around the area or in the state. Mm-hmm. So it's just connection and help and passion. That's what I would say. It's craziness, but it's good craziness.
Well, you have all of those things in like a really lovely package. You've got the passion, you've got the determination, you have the energy, right? And the drive, like these are, I think, also so important, because you're doing a lot, and you know, that's a lot of hats that you're wearing, and it takes an incredible person to be able to juggle all of those things. And I personally, I'm just thrilled that you're in those roles. I love that you're representing me as an OT, and thank you for knowledge.
No, thank you for being a member, and reach out anytime, anybody, to any of the leader in your state, in your area, in your region. They are there to help you. It's just email or text or anything. Just reach out during conference. Yeah. And do that. Not you said about my hats. I heard this from one of my somebody like who knows me. Because you're like all round, they named me as like all rounder OT. I'm a professor, I'm leader, I'm entrepreneur, I'm doing so many things on like non-traditional OT, like that box, a lot of things. So I love that kind of a tag, but just showing off myself, sorry.
Well, that is probably one of my favorite parts about being an OT, is how we can wear so many different hats and, again, work in so many different settings, right? But also have a lot of different roles. So mm-hmm. I'm, you know, to me, that is the best part about the work that we do in our profession. So if any of our listeners wanted to connect with you because they're so inspired and they want to work for you and they want to work alongside you. How do we follow you? How do we support your work?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I will share my all the social media handles on the on your notes. But everything is the same for my social media. It's at OT Park Box on Instagram. My Facebook page is there, and Twitter is everything is the same at OT Park Box. You can reach out to me professionally directly on LinkedIn. Just DM me, connect with me on LinkedIn, find Hiral Khatri, and you will find me there. I'm more active professionally and to answer your professional questions or leadership or any reach connections for on LinkedIn, not on other Instagram or Facebook, my personal ones, or feel free to email me, hiral@otpark.com. I'm always there to email you back. So LinkedIn or email for personal. And if you want to reach out on my socials, then my business socials are, I'm also there. So yeah.
And I also want to put a plug into your website, because I was, you know, perusing there, and it's a lot of information about your business and, you know, a lot of information about you too. So if you want to learn a little bit more about Dr. Hiral Khatri, go visit her website. So it's otpark.com.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, so again, thank you so much for your time. I am thrilled to have you on. I cannot wait to see what the next 10 years are going to look like for you. Can't wait to see you at the next OTAC conference.
Yes, yes, we can definitely catch up. And anybody who is listening, are there at any of the OTAC conference or AOTA coming to Orlando in April, meet me. I will be there. Yeah, but this was a great experience. Even I never thought about all these questions about myself. So thank you for doing this and inviting me on your podcast. Yeah, and you are doing so good in the podcast world of occupational therapy. I truly appreciate you, Patricia.
Thank you so much for mentioning that. I love doing all of this and meeting incredible OTs like you. And if all of these conversations and interactions are helping other people, that's just extra bonus, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
I also have the passion in doing this. So it's pure joy. And, you know, again, I meet people like you. So thank you.
Thank you too. it was so good.
And that wraps up another inspiring episode of the Uncommon OT series. Connect with me at www.transitionsot.com. And don't forget to sign up to be part of the Transitions OT community. By doing so, you'll receive my latest compiled list of uncommon OT practice settings, the latest news on mentoring offerings, uncommon OT live events, non-traditional OT resources, and more. You may also follow me on my social media pages on Instagram and LinkedIn. And if you love this episode, head on over to Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, and Google Podcasts to follow, rate, and leave a review. I also ask you to consider pledging your support to my passion podcast project by being a patron on Patreon. It is very much appreciated. Sending big OT love. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.